This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our special guest is Troy Renfro. Troy, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you here today. You know, you have such a rich background. You've done so many different things that I'd like to lay the groundwork for some of your background before we really get into your present business situation.
Certainly.
Because there are lots of people listening to this that change careers or thinking about changing careers. And really, there's life after one career, and it might be inspiring to hear some of the things. So at one point, you worked at a company called One Call Care Management.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's right.
Quickly, overview of that company and what you did there.
Certainly. We at One Call Care Management, basically, it is a somewhat of a niche business. And what I mean by that is that when I began working there, I had no idea this industry even existed. Hmm. It is a business which takes care of injured workers, is the best way to put it.
Okay.
If you get hurt at work and you're on work comp, then your insurance company will hire One Call to come out, and they'll provide everything for you, everything from diagnostic services, physical therapy, medications. And then what I did is I actually managed the transportation and interpretation business.
Okay.
So we were able to get the employees to their doctor's appointments and back.
So your company was about 4,000 employees?
About 4,000 employees and about $2.3 billion in revenue.
$2 billion. So that was quite a position at that point. You also worked for the Mariah Group.
Yep.
Completely different situation.
Totally different. Right. Mariah Group was a marketing and PR firm in strategic marketing, and it was a more of a regional firm, although we did have a few national clients.
Okay. So from operations to marketing. Background in terms of education, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga?
Correct, yep.
And what did you study there?
I got a business Bachelor of Science degree in business with concentration in marketing, and then I got a minor in economics. Once again, somewhat of a dichotomy between marketing and economics. And then I finished up there with an MBA.
Okay, good. More personally, married for some 30 years?
Yep, 32 years.
All right. Four children?
Four kids, four beautiful children.
Awesome. And you also describe yourself, I almost said from time to time, but always as a follower of Jesus.
By all means.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, wow. You know, I think one thing I've been learning, you know, I'm always learning about Jesus and his character and so forth. But a follower of Jesus to me means someone who is fully devoted, who makes Jesus their priority, who that's the most important thing in their life. I mean, I love my wife. We're best friends, but she knows I love Jesus more.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, a good segue into, because the whole purpose of these podcasts is to put business and Bible together. And with that bit of a background now, tell us about your pizza business, because you've gone from operations to marketing, and now you're a pizza entrepreneur. How did that happen? And tell us about your business.
So I retired from One Call Care Management back in 2014, and I was one of those guys that said, when I retire, I'm going to relax. I've been working hard. You know, I've always been a very hard worker, thanks to my father. And so when I retired, I was going to chill out a little bit. And I did for about a year. And then I actually got bored, began to look around and say, you know, what can I do to try to give back? And so I began to actually offer services, consulting services to various ministries and churches, et cetera, and did some work here at Northland. And I met with a gentleman that's been in the ministry for a long time. And he basically told me, he said, Troy, one of the best things you can do is actually make money and help the kingdom in that matter. And I said, well, I've been pretty good at making money. So, you know, I think you may be right. And so I began to look around for something to do. We looked at buying some businesses and we looked at different things. I know my strengths and weaknesses. And so I chose, my wife and I chose to look at a business that had some built-in demand as mm-hmm. opposed to me having to go out and shake hands and kiss babies mm-hmm. And try to drum up business. And so my strengths are in marketing, but not necessarily personal sales, you know, along with operations. And so someone presented a company called Medici, the Neapolitan Pizza Company. And so my wife and I flew out, took a look at it out in LA, and basically fell in love with the concept. It's a very, it's an upscale Neapolitan pizza restaurant whose focus is all about friendships.
When I think about it, I just love that name, Medici. I'm Italian. My father was Italian and mother both. And that sounds like the names of half of the people in my family. So we'll
That's cool.
kind of go from that viewpoint. But now you have a different concept in this this store, this thrust that you have. You have two stores at this point, and one of the things that I found fascinating is the ovens that you have. Tell everyone a little bit about the ovens in terms
of... Sure. Yeah, the ovens are certainly a little different. One thing that I also like about Medici is that we try to be as authentic to the Naples or the Napoli traditions as we possibly can. One of the ways we do that is through the ovens that we have in the restaurant. These ovens are actually handmade by a third-generation family called the Acunto family over in Naples, Italy. And they're made from clay and, you know, water and concrete and brick, you know, just like they've been making them for years mm-hmm. and years and years. The ovens do not have any gas coming into them. They do not have any electricity, with the exception of the fan that will suck out the smoke from the ovens. They're all wood-fired. And so the surface of the oven is usually sitting around between 800 to 950 degrees. And at the dome, it can get, you know, over 1,000 degrees. As we all know, heat rises. Right. And so they're specifically made to cook pizzas. And when you get one, it's different than you'd get at your typical delivery service
right.
pizza.
And the pizzas can be finished in 90 seconds, right?
Yeah, that goes to the heat. Yeah, it goes to the heat you're talking about.
Okay, so as we get into the organization itself and the values, you mentioned the idea of friendship. And we have a feature in each one of these podcasts called Sunday to Monday. And basically it has to do with something you might hear on a Sunday from a pulpit or in a church and bring it to work on Monday and kind of move it through. And there's one verse that comes to mind here, and when I read about the values of your company, and incidentally, I encourage everybody to go to this website, the website of Troy's Stores. You'll see some good visuals about the ovens and the olive trees and that they feature as well. But in the value system, you have a line that says, we love people. And it brings to mind a verse in Romans that you could likely hear on a Sunday, Romans 12:10, and it says, be devoted to one another in love. And we keep talking about how you put business and Bible together. What does that thrust in that verse have to do with success in a business?
Well, I tell you, Sam, that's a fantastic question that I think as most businessmen, when they're out there in the grind, when they hit the floor running on Monday morning, that is always one of the greatest challenges because you're facing so many things coming at you in so many different directions. And so to me, one of the, you know, the things that come to mind are two things. One is, you know, how are you going to treat your staff? You know, to me, that's one of the most important things. Matter of fact, I don't know that there is a more important thing. When we went back in and decided to get into the business world, you know, one of the things I looked at and one of the things that God spoke to me about was being able to influence lives. You know, in the restaurant business, you typically don't hire, you know, people with college degrees, and they're not that all that professional all the time. Mm-hmm. But the people that we hire, we always ask them an initial question: tell me about yourself. Because we're looking for that quality of individual. And these people that we hire are always so fantastic. They're just good, solid people. But we want to try to create an environment in our restaurants that is something they've never experienced before. As a matter of fact, in Kissimmee, we've been open a little over a year now, and we still have 20 of the exact same people in our restaurant that we had when we opened.
Wow.
Yeah, and in the restaurant business, people will tell you that's very unusual.
Right.
And if you talk to them, I think what they're going to tell you is that, you know what, these guys treat us right. They're fair. They're reasonable. They go above and beyond, and that's what we try to do. That's one of the ways we try to love on them, and it pays off. The second thing is a lot more difficult to do, especially in the restaurant business. In today's world of social media, in today's world of reviews, you're getting hit sometimes with very unreasonable people when they do reviews. You'll get hit by competitors. You'll get hit by people that's trying to damage your reputation. You'll get hit by people where we didn't give them a good experience, and those I can deal with, no problem. But it takes the power of God sometimes for me to because I'm a very driven individual. And because I have a lot of justice and I believe in that, it takes the power of God in me sometimes to not blast somebody, you know, when I hear that.
Right.
And I truly do give that to God's power to be able to be empathetic with them and to be able to be tender and kind, because that's not my spirit.
One of the things that you talk about, we prepared a bit and exchanged documents in terms of questions and answers and so that we can facilitate this discussion. And I know that you're primarily involved in leadership development in your organization. What is leadership to you, and what kinds of values do you try to instill in your leadership through leadership training of various sorts?
Yeah, leadership development is very special to me. I actually had a couple of my old leadership team actually show up at Medici Daytona this past weekend. Haven't seen them in a long time. We stay in touch, but they actually came to visit and have lunch with us, and that was really nice. And one of them was a manager that he and I worked very close together at One Call. And one of the things he said to me, which was very special, he pulled me aside and he said, "I just want you to know that you have had more influence in my life than any other person."
Wow.
For to hear that, you know, and to know the battles that we faced on the front line, so to speak, together, is obviously something that, you know, is worth it all to me. And so one of the things that I try to do in leadership development is I try to instill things like servanthood,
mm-hmm.
Respect for all people, no matter what, care, empathy. Everybody goes through things. Everybody is struggling in one way or another. As a leader, you can't get into the drama. You've got to stay above that, because how can you lead them if you're down in that drama with them? And you're always going to see and hear drama. And so, you know, that respect that you're always going to show, and the love and the care and the empathy for them, is going to be one of those key factors. You know, the other thing is they've got to be able to respect you to be able to follow you because of your management ability. There's a big difference, as we know, between management and leadership. Management is all focused on control. When I teach our leaders, you know, I try to teach them that both are extremely important. Control or management is all about being able to do your job, just you, do your job.
Right.
And be able to do it right, to follow the task, to do the checklist, to know how to put things together. No matter what job it is, management is all about being able to control whatever it is that's in front of you. You've got to be good at that to be a good leader. It's because if you're good at that and you do, and then people will begin to follow you because you know what you're doing. You know, leadership is all about basically replicating yourself in other people. So if I'm a really good manager of what's set in front of me, and I learn how to replicate that same ability in the people that are around me, they're going to follow me. Because they're going to say, this guy knows what he's doing, he cares about me, and he wants to be able to, and he wants me to be able to succeed as well.
Right. So it technical problem solving is important.
Of course.
But the relationships that you build are perhaps even more important.
By all means.
And when you think about it that way and you think about building relationships, I'm trying to make sure I understand what you're saying, that you're building relationships, and a lot of biblical values come through in how you build those relationships.
By all means.
And with the trust and the care and the concern and all of those things, the Bible is a good handbook for how to build those relationships. And One of the verses that also came to mind as I was preparing for this podcast is Philippians 2:3. And when I was thinking about leadership development and what kinds of values you would like for other people to have and for things to rub off from you on others who are in leadership capacities. And it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. That's pretty consistent, isn't it, with what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, I'm smiling right now because that actually is my very favorite verse in the entire scripture.
Is that right?
The fact that Jesus came down and humbled himself in the mere form of a man, it really gives me the impetus, the motivation to be able to simply follow him in the same manner and do the same thing for other people.
Okay, so let's play a little game here, and let's say that somebody doesn't follow this, a leader, and that the leader actually works from a viewpoint of vain conceit. What happens to the relationships in that organization?
Well, first of all, your staff, they're going to see through that.
Right.
That's the very first thing. They're going to see through it. They may give you lip service. They may respect your position if you're fortunate. But most of the time, because they will see through it, they will disrespect you. They will know that you're only doing it for yourself. And when they do recognize that, there's not going to be any more willing followers. They may follow you because they have to and because they need their job, but that's going to be the end of it.
And as those relationships fall apart, so does the company.
By all means.
No matter how good you are at solving the technical problems.
No problem. No doubt at all. Very well put.
Okay, let's talk about a pearl of wisdom. And we always end one of these podcasts with a pearl of wisdom or kind of the thing that you want people to remember. Or maybe it's a whole different idea. Something they can get out of their car, go to the workstation, and start to practice right away. Troy, what would that be for you?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of mentors in my life, and I thank God for them. I think this one I had to learn on my own, though, and that is that we're going to get knocked down. You know, there's life's not easy, as Pastor Matt Hurd says a lot. You know, we live in a fallen world. You know, we're not going to have it cushy. If you're in the business world, it's tough out there. You know, you're going to have people cheat you. You're going to have people lie to you. You're going to make commitments that unfortunately, you can't control other people, and they may not be able to follow through on the commitment that you've been able to make. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get beat up. You're going to fall. I think if I could pass on any bit of wisdom at all, it would be when you fall, not if, but when you fall, when you get knocked down, get up. Get up, take the next step, start walking in the direction that you know you're supposed to walk in, the right way, not the way you may want to, but the right way. And if you do that, then God will bless you. I'm just a good old boy from, you know, Kentucky and Tennessee. And I think if anything that I've learned along the way is that I've had to be tenacious enough to get back up when I get knocked down. And when my kids ask me questions, that's what I try to teach them myself. So if I'm going to teach my sons and daughter this, then I feel like that maybe this might be good for someone else.
And I know you didn't mention it, but I know you see that difficulty that you're facing as a way to improve your life and improve yourself. And you live by the axiom that God's in control. And if he wanted to change your situation, he could. But since he decides not to, that means that you should be looking with joy at those difficulties in improving yourself as you go along.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And all right. Well, I hate to be the one to say, but we're out of time here. Thank you, Troy, for being here. Anyone listening who wants to correspond with Troy using his email address, the email address is, let me just spell it for you, TRENFROW@outlook.com. Thanks to all of you for being here today on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I'll see you all next time. In the meantime, remember, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.